Hi, Paul Sackett, Good News Planet. I'm speaking to Rachel Codanas. Oh, how do I say your last name?
Cadonis.
Codanas. Okay. Rachel's a best-selling author, and she has a upcoming tour, which she's doing now, but it's for her newest book called Finding Peace, One Piece at a Time. And it starts off finding peace, P-E-A-C-E, comma, one piece, P-I-E-C-E, at a time. Okay, and the piece, I believe, is you're sharing insights and practical knowledge on what to do with possessions left by loved ones who have passed away. And Rachel, I believe you had lost your husband at one point.
I did. I was really young. I was 31 with a 2-year-old when he passed away suddenly.
Aha. And your first best-selling book was How to Handle and How to Deal with That Change in Life.
Well, indirectly and directly, it was titled similar to the way I titled my newest book, is Living with Loss One Day at a Time, because people think there's something to get over, but once you have a loss, even if it's a grandparent, once you have a loss, it's forever, and how to live with it and be with that person and still keep the connection.
And so we're now talking about one piece at a time. What do you mean by pieces? Let's say.
So what I learned through all that I've done over the last 20 years of speaking nationally, what I've learned is that we collect stuff, whether it's ours, whether it's our parents, whether it's the siblings. Just over time, we keep accumulating more and more things. And what do you do with them when either you're downsizing your house or whether you are sorting through somebody that passed away? And I came across all this concept when my husband passed away, because what do I do with his things? And I even talk about it in the book, is what do you do with a toothbrush? So that's why I wrote the book, is you need to find peace with these items, yet you need to do something with them.
Well, let's talk about that, okay? Because to be frank with you, I'm a similarly minded person, and everything is important to me, actually, and symbolic and respectful. And I'm just looking at grandmother's furnitures, I'm looking at mother-in-law's beaded flowers, and blah, blah, blah. Actually, in essence, for me personally, it's my essence of my life. It means so much to me to have those, actually many of those around me. And if I do share them, I hopefully share them with somebody that will appreciate them as our family has. What are your thinking on this?
Well, I've clearly hit a chord in people's lives with this book, because I hear this on interviews and in presentations, that, the story that you're just telling me. So I would summarize it in two ways. If the item that you have tells the story of the history of your family or of you, if it tells the story, keep it, because it's all about telling our story. If you find a connection to that item, keep it, because that connects you to your loved ones, to yourself, and to your previous generations. And
Okay.
if neither of those hit a chord with you, then you can let it go.
So let me ask you, how do you handle, I very well might say I want to keep that dresser, right? But now say you're not a solo performance here. It's not just you. You have a family, you have a new family, you have new people who really don't have that same historic value and appreciation for it. How do you discuss that with, say, your loved ones around you?
So what I believe is that everybody has a voice, and it's up to us in anything in life, but especially in this situation, to have a voice. I have four sisters. My mother passed away. How do you sort thin and clear out some of this stuff if we all have different opinions? And the way for me, I believe, to handle it is allowing everybody to have a voice. I just did a presentation and part of this book tour, and I had two siblings in the room, and they started the conversation by saying, one of them said, is I'm a keeper, and the other one said, I'm a thrower outer. So in the room, what we just kind of talked about, well, one of those sisters said, no matter what, we are not going to lose the sisterhood over mom's items. But what we talked about in the group was that you both have a voice. And it's our job to listen to each other's voices and to co find co find a compromise. So maybe you get to keep the dresser, Paul, but maybe there's something else that you might need to let go.
Uh-huh. Okay. It's working out. And if you both want the same item.
Okay, so I actually talk about this too. So there's a book, I don't know if you're aware of it. It was Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants, and it was a teenager book, and it was about these pair of jeans that didn't really go from house to house, but they got mailed to these four girls. In my family, what we did was when we couldn't decide on something, we were doing my mother's jewelry, and one person got it for 6 months, and then we moved it to another person. And as time moves away from the loss, you may not have that same interest. 3, 6, 9 months down the road, you may not have that interest. But right on the onset when you're sorting, you might have that interest. So in my opinion, is share it. There's no deep rules. Share it. And even if it's a piece of furniture, deal with it.
You bring up a very, I like that thought of what you're saying now, but you also bring up an interesting point about time healing wounds. I guess that carries from a loss of a loved one to a loss of an item as we're speaking about. Do you think that do you think that time can heal a loss, say, I'm going to use a loved one because you speak on that as well. Time.
So I think time softens a loss. I don't know if you ever fully heal from it, because I think that you always will be, just even think of an elder relative that you lost that the time was for it to loss. Like, let's just pick a grandmother, okay? We still love their foods. We love their smells. We love the little sayings that they taught us. So they'll always be there, and they'll always be a little bit of a scab when they're gone. So that's why I said it heals it. It doesn't ever go away. But that little scab that you get, and when you smell that, it's a beautiful thing. So it's when I say time heals, it just finds it. It just softens the situation.
Is that similar to finding another love in your life?
So I am remarried. That's a good question. I am remarried, but I feel just like I'm talking to you today. I'm talking about my loss of my first husband, and yet I'm still today working on all these. This is what are my endeavors with my new husband supporting me. It's just different, and I think when we really have a loss, in my opinion, is we don't compare. I think other people think we might compare these two husbands, but I'm a totally different person than I was with my deceased husband, because I've learned so much about me in life that I can't go back in time.
Okay. Tell us some other aspects in the book that you share.
So what I share in the book of Finding Peace One Piece at a Time is I talk about how you find peace, and I shared that earlier. You find peace through you wanting to tell the story and wanting to keep the connection. And in the book, I talk about how to sort through it. And I talk about the 10 essentials. We don't have time to go through them all. But in pretty much what I say is accept a trigger. Then that trigger is when you're ready to start the process. You might be looking for something. You might want to get the car in the garage for the winter if you live there's a garage. You might want to share something. It usually starts that you're digging in a drawer, or you have to move elderly parents, or not even elderly, or you want to downsize yourself. That's the trigger, and I say accept it, because as soon as it comes, it gives you the opportunity to really dive into it. I also talk about building a team, somebody that can help you, somebody that can look you straight in the eyes and say, do you really want to keep that? What's the story behind it? Why is it that you want to keep it? And I talk about my book, how I kept my crib after my husband died, because my daughter was 2. And I just, the last night a father and daughter were together, I never had another baby, but I just couldn't get rid of it. So I talk about those types of things in the book.
I'm smiling here on the other side of the phone because I saved my daughter's crib for 30 years. I did get divorced, and I'm best friends with my mother and my daughter, 50 years. And however, I held on to my daughter's crib 30 years. She got a baby, and basically the reality was the times had changed. The size of the crib, the the spokes between the, you know, each one of them had changed. So in essence, after all those years, we realized we couldn't use that crib. It wasn't safe anymore. I guess do happen.
But it's funny what we're connected to. And that's why I stressed at the beginning of your semi-conversation is, how do you find peace? It's the things that you're connected to. It's not that we're hoarding. I don't even talk about hoarding, because that's not what we're doing. We're keeping the items because we're emotionally attached to them for some reason.
I agree. And within those 30 years, I did mention, you know, I even have my daughter's crib in the basement. So it is what it is. Well, I'm very so much happy for you. And for those that are able to share and listen and grow from your wisdom here, do you have a website that's also informative?
Yes, I do. I have it's www.rachelkadonis.com. I'm going to spell that RACHELKODANAZ. I'm actually in Kansas City right now, and I'm flying to New York today. I have a whole week of programs that I'm doing, and they're listed on my events page.
Okay. All righty. I know you're in a Barnes & Noble store on Wednesday coming up, too. Is that
right? No, that's in Denver. That's back in Denver. No, that's what I'm doing this week and coming up in New York. I'm going to be in the library in New York City. I'm going to be in a bookstore.
Oh, I meant the library.
Yes, okay.
Right, the library on 59th Street. Okay.
Perfect.
Great. All righty.
Hey,
well, congratulations.
And
let me ask you one last quick question, okay, because
sure.
I've asked many people. We're involved with the International Day of Peace, and we're also involved with Peace, Love, and Hope, and created a movie in this regard. What does peace mean for you, Rachel?
A settling in my stomach and heart. It's where I can combine the whole notion of creating a logical and emotional reaction to something, and that I can settle it within my own, like my own body, that it works, that I'm not anxious, that it works for me. That's when I settle down inside, I know I'm at peace.
Perfect. Okay. Thank you so much for sharing.
Thanks for talking to me today, Paul.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.